want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. I wonder how fast I can say that. WMIE FM 91.5 FM. Anyway, glad that you are here. I might be able to do better later in the day when my mouth gets warmed up. But we pray that you had a great weekend and that you are looking forward to what God has in store for you this week. So today I want to start off by saying thank you to the folks at Weirich Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H, in case you do not remember the phone number and you want to look it up, W-E-I-R-I-C-H. They are based in Rockledge, Florida. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. They are air conditioning and electrical contractors licensed with the state of Florida. Weirich Air has been providing professional sales services and repairs in the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields for over 40 years. They work in residential and commercial settings and provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So if you find yourself in the need of their services, give them a call, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. And I can tell you that if you are having air conditioning issues or electrical issues, you are not alone. There have been a number of people who have reached the conclusion it is time to upgrade our system. You say, oh no, that is just going to be so expensive. Let me tell you, the new systems are also going to save you money on your electric bill. So it might take a while to recoup the cost, but you are going to be very efficient, and it will, that unit will probably last longer because it doesn't have to work as hard to keep you cool as it did in the past. So let me tell you their phone number one more time. It is 321-632-9538. If you tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, that will be greatly appreciated. So this morning we're going to take you back to the book of First Chronicles. Last week we got through exactly one characteristic of things that belong to God that David talks about here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 as he's getting ready to depart this life and he's getting ready to pass things on to Solomon. And one of the things that I love about David is that he set Solomon up to succeed. I love that. You see, there are a lot of people that set other people up to fail. But I believe as Christians, we are called to set people up to succeed. And so when I've had youth pastors that worked for me or worship pastors or children's pastors, my effort was always, I want to do everything in my power to help you to succeed in your mission and in your task. You see, I think that's really what that mutual submission thing that's talked about in the book of Ephesians is all about, is we don't recognize, well, my mission is the only one that matters. No, that's not true. Everybody's mission is important. Everybody's mission is important. And so we need to be helping one another and setting people up to succeed. That's what David did. Now, here in verses 10 through 15, David is blessing the Lord, and he's doing it in a very public setting. A lot of people, when they're getting ready to depart this life, they don't want to be around people, But David said, I'm going out a blessing. I'm going out a blessing. So he says in verse number 10, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your right hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are a shadow and without hope. So this is what David has said. And so we're talking about a number of things that people look for, aspire to achieve in this life, but they actually belong to God. Okay? Now, I will tell you this. The noun that describes what it is when somebody longs for something that belongs to another person is coveting, covetousness. The verb would be to covet. It's one of the things that we're not supposed to do. And it's not just things that belong to other people. In this case, it is something that belongs to God. It is that covetous mindset, along with arrogance, is one of the things that that operated in Lucifer. He says, I am going to ascend the hill of the Lord. I'm going to be like the Most High. He wasn't content with where God had placed him. He wanted God's place. And I will tell you that we need to be thankful for the places that God has given to us. You know, and you know, there's a lot of people that complain about the job. I can take you back into your memory banks and probably find a moment where you rejoice that you got that job. You know, where you were thankful somebody was going to tell you when you had to get up and when you had to show up for work and what you had to wear and what you needed to do and what you could and couldn't say to people. You see, things have really transformed on their head over the paradigms that have been in place for the last several decades. In the last several decades, they said, yeah, you have freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want, but we also have the freedom to have employees that work for us that are going to be in line with our values. Now, people are actually demanding to do and say things at work that are contrary to their employers and expect that there's not going to be any ramifications or repercussions or anything like that. You have the political freedom to say things, but that doesn't necessarily move over into the work environment. And so because I'm a representative of Merit Assembly of God, I'm the pastor of the church, the things that I say, they need to be Bible-based. They need to be for building people up, not for tearing people down. They need to be so that Jesus is glorified. They need to be words that I share that are going to be words of wisdom and words of truth that are going to empower people to live the life that God wants them to live. And so we cannot allow coveting to infect our spirit. We need to say, God, you're my source. You're my provider. And God, I want you to know greatness is yours. He goes on and he says this also, for yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory. That word power also means force or valor. God is an omnipotent God. God is an omnipotent God. I talked to a friend of mine recently. He was my best friend growing up. when we were little. He would go on vacations with us. We threw papers together. He doesn't look like me, but he's about the same age I am. But we were best friends growing up. He was more athletic than I was and all that sort of stuff. And he told me about a situation because we've got a few birthdays behind us now. And he told me of a situation where he found himself in, and he was completely and totally physically overpowered. And it was very sad that somebody had done what they did to him. And I can tell you that the older I get, sometimes the strength factor, the power factor, isn't what it used to be. You know, I still want to go out there and lift the same amount of weight I did, and that's something I gotta work up to. Well, I can tell you this: God never deteriorates. His strength never wanes. They can't even find a scale to measure the strength and the power of God. All I can tell you is you find the most powerful source that you know and multiply it times about a gazillion times a gazillion times a gazillion, and it's still going to be insufficient to match the power of God. You know, God is so powerful that he spoke the world into creation. And a lot of people used to think that that was something that was totally absurd, that it was something that was incomprehensible. But now I have a phone that I can speak to, and I can say, hey, turn on the flashlight. And because of the phone that is there, the phone is got the ability to recognize my voice. And because I have spoken to it and said, turn on the flashlight or turn on the flashlight comes on. I don't do anything other than just speak the words, and it happens. If man has that kind of technology, how much greater power does God have? He is the omnipotent God. It is one of the most essential things that you and I need to remember, that God is all-powerful, he is the almighty God, and we are not. And I will tell you one other thing, and that is that the devil is not all-powerful. The devil is a limited, created being who's living in rebellion to his God-designed purpose. He's not all-powerful. Now, in 1 John 4:4, it says, greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. There is more power available to the body of Christ than we tend to recognize and acknowledge. We have an omnipotent God who lives inside of us. So if you're looking at a problem, you know, like the children of Israel, they looked at the giants, they looked at the fortified cities, they looked at the wilderness and said, this land devours the people who live there. Really? Where'd those fortified cities come from? They looked at the magnitude of the problem and forgot about the greatness and the power of God. There's another passage that talks about the leadership of Israel, and that God had Moses bring this select group of leaders up, and they had fellowship and communion with God on the mountain. It would be absolutely fascinating. Almost every one of those people go down from the mountain after Aaron sees it. He creates a golden calf, and he says, Israel, this is the God that created it. No, it wasn't a golden calf. There were people who went out and they rebelled against God. They forgot about the power of God. Now, I will tell you that the children of Israel when they saw the power of God on display on the top of the mountain, they told Moses, you go listen, because if we hear him, we're going to die. They did not recognize the heart of God. You see, God utilizes his power for kingdom benefit, for your benefit. And so don't ever doubt the power and the capability of God. The next one, for yours, O God, for yours, O Lord, is the greatness, it's the power, and the glory. It's the glory. Other translations are beauty and glory and honor. There's an aspect of weightiness to it. The word for glory and honor, it's a very weighty thing. It's not something to be taken lightly. We live in a day and time where honor is a commodity in rare value. We might see people who bite their tongue for a moment to honor someone who passed away, but then they go right back to attacking other people who are still alive. That's a problem. You and I need to be people who honor. We give honor to those to whom honor is due. And I will tell you that the glory of God, it belongs to him. No one is going to be able to steal it from him. May your glory cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. God is glorious. I believe that he's awe-inspiring. I believe that the glory of God is something beautiful to behold. It is overwhelming how awesome God is in the beauty of holiness. So I like to tell this story. I had an eye surgery several years ago. I don't remember how long ago things took place, but they told me, they said, now we're getting ready to put you to sleep, and when you wake up, we're going to have your eye pried open, which is a very disconcerting thought in itself, and you're going to see a really bright light. So we just want you to be prepared. And it's like, okay. And so, bam, they knocked me out. They did whatever they needed to do to my eye, and they cut off the sleepy juice, and I woke up, and they weren't kidding. It was a bright light. And when I beheld it, the first thing, see, I'm one of those people that uses humor as a deflection mechanism. I mean, it was a bright light, and if you saw how bright that light is, the first thing you're going to want to do is you're going to want to close your eye. And I couldn't close my eye. And the first thing that I thought of was interrogation techniques back in old time movies where they had, you know, shine this bright light in the person's face while they were questioning them. And so the first thing out of my mouth was, I didn't do it. I have an alibi. People can corroborate my testimony. But you know, I don't forget how you know, overpowering that light is. I want you to know God is a glorious God. He is a holy God. And it is beyond our ability for our natural human resources to be able to perceive it. I pray that you get to experience the glory of God. Whenever you experience the glory of God, you're going to want to experience again, I assure you. It goes on and it says two more things here. It says the victory and the majesty. The victory and the majesty. Now, it's a good thing to remember that the victory belongs to God. I had a perfect record when I was wrestling. My friend I was telling you about, he joined a wrestling team, and so I decided that I would join the wrestling team. We were in two different weight classes, and mine was an absolute perfect record. I never won a match. I even entered into a tournament with other people who had never won a match, and there was somebody who had must just signed up for the team, and they put me up against him. He picked me up, twirled me around, put me down on the mat, and I was pinned quicker in that match than in any match I'd been in up to that point in time. It was absolutely humiliating. I could not win a wrestling match at that point in time. I've since learned a few techniques and things like that I can put into practice if I need to. But the truth of the matter is, victory is not about our natural understanding or our natural ability. Victory is a gift from God. And so my mother passed away earlier this year. But I can tell you what her favorite song was. There are very few people who are listening to the sound of my voice who have undergone the physical afflictions that my mother lived most of her life with. And she just kept right on. Towards the end of her life, the last 20 years, she threw a blood clot in surgery and had to have a leg amputated. And that led to a whole bunch of other challenges and things like that. And you know what? Her favorite song continued to be in every battle that she faced: Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Because it is not just about the battle that we face here on earth. It is the battle for where we're going to spend eternity. And Jesus is the one who gives us that victory. In the lexicon, it describes this word victory as a goal, as a bright object at a distant traveled towards splendor. Don't think of yourself as just being a perpetual victim. You are destined to be more than an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Victory belongs to God, but we have to quit thinking like victims. I was in a conversation with someone one time, and we were talking, and I said, now I'm going to tell you one of my favorite preachers, and I named him. I said, my biggest problem with him is not his preaching. He preaches victory, but his politics are victim. And the guys said, you know, there's very rarely a time that you and I don't have a conversation that you leave me with a wow moment. He said, you know, you don't strike me as the person that is going to be thinking about all these other things, but you always bring a perspective that causes me to go, wow. Too many saints read their Bible and they see victory, but when they are living, they have a thought process of victimization. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, but we need to have a goal. Okay, that's one of the things that it talks about here, is that it is a goal. It is something that is being traveled towards. A lot of Christians do not have a target in mind for their life. So I want to give you the gift that I was given in high school, and that is a question. What are you doing now to position yourself that you're going to hit the target that you are wanting to shoot at? And when that person in that scholarship interview for college asked me that question in November of my senior year of high school, I was left stammering without words because there wasn't a scholastic answer that I was going to be able to give, that this is what I'm doing to hit the goal. What are you doing to position yourself for the victory that God wants to give you? Okay? You say, well, I thought he was going to do it all. Well, David had to go chase after the lion, and David had to go chase after the bear because they both had lambs that had been entrusted to David's care. And so God gave him the victory, but he still worked with God in achieving the goal. And so he, when he was facing Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and Goliath was doing all of this trash talking, he was actually insulted that this little runt of a boy had come up against him. And so in 1 Samuel 17, let me see exactly here in the passage. Verse number 40. 1 Samuel 17, 40. Then he took the staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand. See, he's got a goal in mind. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Let me drop down to verse number 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day," listen to what it is, "the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David said, "You come against me with all your weapons, but I'm coming against you, and God will deliver you into my hand today. God's going to give me the victory." See, the devil is really big on boasting, but God is really big on winning. He's really, really got the victory. He's got your victory. He's got my victory. Would you join with me and say, along with my mother in heaven today, there is victory in Jesus. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
To live in your presence, to fellowship.